You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles, Series 4,
up to Episode 9.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 29th of July, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello.
Hello, you.
Hiya.
Hello. And in the week that scientists have made a breakthrough in the treatment of motor neurone disease, also known as ALS, all because of the funding that they received for the Ice Bucket Challenge.
In the week where, I'm afraid, I tried to play some sad piano music. in a week where the last ever VCR was made, that threw me off. The sad piano just didn't kick in. Ugh.
Hashtag sad piano.
Hashtag sad piano. What else happened?
Well, a comedian left fake coupons around a supermarket in the US, offering rewards like a free hug and a piggyback around the car park.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice. And
the sad piano randomly just appeared in the corner.
Fantastic. In the week, also in the week, that a man used a £150,000 Lamborghini to tow a trailer full of goats.
Goats.
Yeah, goats.
Goats.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, me again. The bike bus was launched in Boston. It's a bus with exercise bikes instead of seats. Now, I don't know if that means the exercise bikes power the bus, and that's also green energy, but pretty cool for people to get fit as they
commute, I guess.
Commute, yeah. Although, of course, you could cycle to your destination, but I imagine this is faster.
Possibly. So, I don't know. Depends. Because if you get stuck in traffic in a bus, you're not really going anywhere. But if you're on a bike, you can sort of weave in and out.
How true.
Mm. And also this week, it's been revealed that Pokemon Go is already influencing baby names.
Wow. Well,
of course it is.
Of course.
What, but, so like, how? A baby's being called Valor and Mystique? or are they being called, like, Vaporeon?
I think
Pikachu.
Eevee was mentioned.
Eevee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a beautiful name. Mm. That does actually work as a name in its own right as well. So that's pretty cool.
That's a human name that is not unheard of.
Yeah.
But in all of those weeks, it's the Geekly Chronicles.
It is. Hello.
Episode 9.
I know. I'm in the studio this time.
You are. It's quite nice to not be in the scary chair.
Yeah. Well, it's quite nice to not be in the scary country.
Mm.
Well, I mean
this one is sometimes a bit.
But it's nice to not have Trump on your doorstep. Although I did make a very Trumpy noise earlier. We were recording some stuff for the show, and I went with my mouth.
Ooh.
That was an actual noise I made. Ooh. That is saved from the editing. Legitimately. Yep. So that's going to be my noise for any. Like, if I want to get the conversation moved on tonight, I'll just play that.
Excellent. And I would like to apologise right now at the start of the show to anyone in UK time who is currently having their dinner.
Ah, yeah. So. I forgot about that.
Or anyone anywhere that's having their dinner.
Well, that's very true. Or any meal of any form that you have now been put off thoroughly. But coming up later...
I love this button.
Coming up later in the show, moving swiftly on from the Trumpy button, we've got all your favourite features. We've got Gamer Geeks, Tumble Fumble, bit of Would You Fund It going on.
I'm excited about this week's Would You Fund It. We're also going to be talking about the sad demise of the VCR.
We are...
And plenty of other things, including the Tumble Fumble.
As always.
Yeah. What else?
It's there, fumbling and tumbling. We have a fantastic guest, which is kind of inspiring the Tumble Fumble.
We do. I'm excited to have Nora Reid on the show. They do seem pretty awesome.
Yes. They have created all kinds of Twitter bots, of which we are a fan here in the studio.
Yeah, more on them later, or more from them later.
Indeed.
And all of our usual sort of banter, plus, you know, news about what happens next series and what you might be able to catch in between. This is the 9th episode, next week will be the last, next show in 2 weeks' time will be the last one of the series, which is almost disbelief.
Yeah.
Almost, but not quite.
I can't believe it's not Geekly.
I know. But, you know, these things happen. We take a little break from the show to
keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh to get new ideas. And really, the important thing is that we go our own way. I mean, I say we'd go our own way, but really, we'd just hang out and...
Yeah, we'd pretty much just come here and think about the show.
Talk
just
about
not
the show,
do it.
And yeah, we do. We do spend a lot of time on this this thing, don't we?
We do.
We keep these wheels a turning.
Mm-hmm. Keep these ideas a funding.
Yeah,
I was gonna say keep these tumbles fumbling, but then I realised that wasn't first.
It's would you fund it?
It is.
Well, yeah. I was excited. I don't know who else is. Whoa, would you fund it?
Yeah. It's happening again.
It kind of concludes the competition as well.
Yeah, so we each sort of have taken our turns to pitch you, the listeners, ideas and have you vote on whether or not you think Kickstarter style they would be funded. And I have had three and Catherine has had three and Chris has had two. So this is Chris's third one this week and we'll see. I mean, at the moment, we're all equal. I've had two funded, you've had two funded, you've had two funded.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see this week who the winner is. And the winner gets to decide on what next week's Would You Fund It would be.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Although, it occurs to me that since we're all on level pegging, if I'm not the winner this week, we're going to have to do some kind of fancy maths to work out who gets the...
We can do maths.
Victory, but we'll figure it out.
Mate, Chris, why don't you tell us about your idea this week?
So, as we were discussing on the last show a couple of weeks ago, recently in the UK, we got a new Prime Minister, and Theresa May is now in charge. She moved into 10 Downing Street, and of course that meant that David Cameron had to vacate the property.
But, well, yeah, that tends to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. 1 p.m. moves out, the next one moves in. But I wanted to know what it would be like if David Cameron... after having had his time in number 10, didn't really have anywhere else to go and just sort of had to move back in with his parents.
Welcome to the first episode of At Home with the Camerons.
I was a bit worried after I left Downing Street that I had nowhere to go. We sold all our other houses, thinking I'd be there forever. A bit silly, really. Anyway, Sam and the kids are off with Sam's mum while I work things out, and here I am, back in the old family home.
Life isn't always easy for David, who's got to learn that he's not in charge of everything anymore.
How many times I'm not doing your laundry for you?
But Mother, I've got to look important today. I used to have people for this.
Well, maybe it's about time you got off your backside and did something for yourself.
It's the 5th of September. David, still missing his high-flying position in government, is getting ready for his first day back in Parliament.
Now, I've packed you a lunch, so don't forget to eat it, will you?
Mother, I can't be eating cucumber sandwiches on the back bench.
Don't be silly. Now you're not up at the dispatch box, you can have a proper meal.
David was once one of the most important men in Britain. Today, he's carving a pumpkin.
Just one more tooth and then we have a Thatcho-lantern ready to go. With this, I'll be able to light the way for trick-or-treaters to join the big society.
Looks more like Michael Gove than Margaret Thatcher to me.
Really? I was going for something austere and reverent.
Oh. It seems a bit more Mr. Bean goes to Parliament.
With nothing to watch on television other than repeats of Doctor Who, old episodes of Pointless, and yet another showing of Love Actually, David and his mum go to a bonfire party. This traditional British ritual celebrates something to do with Parliament. Now, this has made David feel a wee bit nostalgic.
I know that Guy Fawkes was trying to blow up Parliament, but at least he was remembered. What will my legacy be?
Calm down and eat your toffee apple. Let's go and get a cup of tea. The queue isn't too long.
The queue would be even shorter if we privatised this. Get a firm in, do away with these scouts.
It's Christmas morning. David has offered to provide Christmas dinner for all his family. What they don't know is that he's subcontracted his family Christmas dinner to controversial catering firm Sodexo.
David William Donald Cameron. What are all these people in hairnets doing in my kitchen?
I said I'd take care of it, Mother. And I did.
You privatised our Christmas dinner. Rather than going to Waitrose, you've given us soggy outsourced sprouts and a limp parsnip.
Oh dear. Next week we'll be joining George Osborne as he goes to live with his Uncle Ozzy and Aunt Sharon. And we'll catch back up with David and see how he handles a New Year's celebration with his old pal Jeremy and a crowd of rowdy junior doctors.
I'd watch it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. Yeah.
So that's what I imagine that would be like. But I can see this being quite a nice documentary series.
Yeah. So you get a chance to vote, you, the listeners, on whether you would fund this idea or not. So if you head to gkly.co/fundit.
Well remembered.
Yep. Then you can vote in there and let us know what you think. Alternatively, if you head to Twitter, our Twitter account is GKLYCO. There's a poll there. You can use the Twitter poll. All the results will be pulled together towards the end of the show, and we'll see whether Chris is the victor in this series of Would You Fund It, or whether we all have to pull together and work out who has won.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go for a tie break.
I like that, though. I'm actually quite... I think that'd make quite a nice comedy series.
Yeah, I would enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I'd go for it.
Although the early indication from the audience is not looking entirely positive.
But, well, we'll see later. We'll wait and see
how that comes out.
But before we get into any more chat, we've got loads we can talk about this week.
A lot has happened.
Let's have a request. This is a request for Rachel in the chat room. The request robot thought about the karaoke version, but I don't really know this song well enough to sing along to it. So let's do the full version, shall we?
Yeah.
This one's for Rachel. The VCR.
I see your segue now.
Well, no, it's genuinely. I mean, this song came out in that sort of time, and you know, the VCR that was invented in the 70s, 1973, I believe.
The VHS configuration debuted in 1977.
Oh, there we go. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it was 70s, a lot of promise. We were suddenly able to tape stuff off the telly and watch pre-recorded content, which was the important thing, of course. You know, most of the time when it started out, it was content that was available to watch at home. Then they added the record functionality in there. And it just became huge, taping stuff off the telly. It was just a thing that we did when we were younger. It's just a thing that on-demand TV didn't exist. That was the way you watched things back.
Mm. Now, I remember my uncle had the wardrobe, sort of built-in wardrobe in the bedroom. It was just lined with these shelves, which had all these, the Scotch tapes on. And each one would have maybe, you know, two or three movies on it that he'd recorded off the TV.
And every time you put them in, they went, I'm a tape lassie. Mm. Scotch tapes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so then there was the list. So each one was numbered. And then there was a list of films and which number tape they were on.
Oh, wow. That's clever.
And yeah, so just kind of like popping the tab on the tape so that it couldn't be recorded over and things like that.
I mean, it's amazing, though, because even back in 1978 when the VHS format first came on the market and, you know, people were first able to hit the record button on those machines for the first time, it was a key selling point. I mean, I've got this great advert from 1978. Give this a listen.
Marty, shh, you'll scare the fish.
But we're missing the big football game.
Relax, my VHS home video recorder is taping it right now.
Terrific.
Watch.
Terrific.
But suppose it's over 3 hours.
Relax, Panasonic VHS tapes up to 4 hours of sports, movies, specials on one cassette.
Wow.
This VHS is for me.
Game. Best catch of the day.
Yeah.
VHS, the four-hour system from Panasonic and other leading companies.
So you could record 4 hours of content.
Four whole hours.
Yeah. And yet, this amazing technology that has been superseded, obviously, by not only things like DVD, which, you know, people didn't really have DVD recorders, weren't really mainstream, but... Mm.
I do remember owning one at one point.
Oh, really? I didn't. But
yeah, the DVD-R.
I mean, I had one on my computer, but, you know, the rise of things like the internet has meant that people don't buy even DVDs or Blu-rays as much, but then videos being superseded by technology, it means that, sadly...
Yeah, I mean, I only buy things on DVD now if I can't find anywhere to stream it from.
Yeah. And all of that means that, sadly, the VCR is coming to a... Coming to a sad, sad end this week. In fact, this week in Japan, the very last VCR is being made. Oh. As we speak, as we broadcast.
some point this week.
I'd be interested to know how many of our listeners still have a VCR.
Oh, I still have a VCR.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them. I don't actually have it connected up right now, but I've got it.
I think my mum still has one somewhere.
I remember the days.
Just isn't plugged into anything.
The days of the VCR. When I would get home from school and pop in a tape.
Yeah.
I'd watch Red Dwarf or...
Red Dwarf on VCR.
Maybe a bit of The Tribe or something else that I really got into and really wanted to watch more of.
I had virtually all of Star Trek on VHS.
I remember watching Star Trek on VHS.
2 episodes per tape.
I would buy Star Trek VHSs from the local supermarket.
Me too.
I would watch them.
The new ones came out on a Monday.
I would watch them and sit and eat sandwiches, watch my VCRs.
You know what?
It was a time in life that really I remember so fondly. And I'd be lost. So lost without the VCR.
You know what I miss? Video Plus.
Oh, Video Plus was a great thing.
Being able to go through the Radio Times and then type in the code.
I wonder if other countries had similar things. Yeah. I'm sure they did.
I think they had it in America under a different name. But yeah, being able to type in a code and then it knows what channel to be on and when to record it and everything, and inevitably the program you want would overrun slightly and the Video Plus would just cut it off, so you'd miss the last 5 minutes of intense drama in whatever you were watching. But yeah, it was great.
Be kind, rewind. Those phrases that we will miss. I love you, VHS, VCR. You'll always have a place in my heart.
I had a really old VCR at one point, and when I rewound, it made such a distinctive noise, we called it the hamster wheel. So squeaky.
Yeah. I used to have one that was top load. I had lots that were push load. I had some that had audio out. I had one that even had audio in. It was bizarre.
I know
I had one that the flappy bit was broken off, you know, where you push the tape in. So...
yeah,
all the dust could get in there.
I know
you
someone
had to keep blowing in there to try and let the dust out.
I know someone that had a top loading one that they always had a top loading one and a front loading one because they discovered that the top loading one would eat certain tapes.
Ah,
which was quite
distressing.
Quite weird.
I imagine.
Distressing,
you realised that you'd watched something so much that the tape had worn down, and so when you were watching it back, it was just worse quality every time.
Yeah.
I had that sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I've got a few VHS tapes that I bought secondhand, and you can tell where somebody else has perhaps paused on a significant scene because everything goes a bit
wobbly. It's funny, there's one episode of Red Dwarf in Series 4 that I still, to this day, if I watch it back on a streaming service, I know exactly where the tape had a blip and I lost about 3 seconds. Because I'm always amazed that it doesn't just jump, because I'd watched it so many times from that tape.
Oh, do you remember the head cleaning tape as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Always felt so official if you put the head cleaning tape in. Like it was some
ritual
big spring cleaning ritual.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. VCR. We will miss you.
We will. We will miss you.
The world will miss you.
It will.
But I will always maintain my VCR.
Oh, and do you remember when Channel 5 became a thing and somebody had to come around and retune all the VCRs?
Yes. Yes, in the UK when they launched the 5th terrestrial channel, that was a big deal.
And you couldn't get it everywhere.
Sometimes you had to put a little receiver on the end, a little kind of box on the end to stop the interference that you could get it.
Yeah, we have one of those.
Wow.
Well.
End of an era.
End of an era.
It is.
An era of an ender.
CWS LTD in the chat room. So it's a concise name. It says, so sad. It is sad indeed. I am I'm a little bit like...
I'm almost feeling like I need to buy one of these final VCRs just so that I've got one, like an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because what if mine claps out and then I can't get a new one?
Yeah, I think the instructions and the remote might all be in Japanese, but as long as you can read the play button, put stuff in. Yeah. It's fine.
It's generally just sort of a triangle, so we should be all right.
Yeah. A moment
for VCR. Taking a moment for the VCR. Anyway.
Yes. So, moving on from that.
Well, indeed. What else has been going on this week?
All kinds of things have been going on this week. And really, really good news that that scientists have made a breakthrough in the treatment of motor neurone disease because of the ice bucket challenge.
Was it found by throwing buckets of ice water over people's heads, or was it the money that was raised?
Not. It was the money that was raised. But they raised an incredible amount of money from everyone taking part in the ice bucket challenge and donating and everything. And the ALS Association says that because of all of these donations, they were able to afford the research that has now found some more information and potentially is moving towards a cure.
That's amazing.
Mm, it really is.
That is really great. It's fantastic that all of the, you know, and everyone a couple of years ago was saying, or a year ago, whenever it was, is this really going to do anything? People put ice over their heads.
All in that voice as well. That's the voice that internet criticism sounds like.
Yeah, a bit like the Tasmanian devil.
Kind of, yeah. any excuse to press
I've
that
button.
I've
got the word slacktivism here.
Slacktivism.
Yes.
I suppose it's like lazy activism.
Yeah, but if it's worked, if it's done something, then...
And it has.
Yeah, exactly.
It says that the gene that they have discovered is only associated with 3% of cases, but it is present in pretty much every form of the disease. So if they're able to figure out how it affects people, then they're going to make a significant breakthrough.
That's incredible. That is really, really cool.
It really is. So well done, everyone that tipped ice over themselves and donated and did all of those things. Go you. Go science.
If you were cold and wet, thank you.
Indeed. Also this week, Pokemon Go has been influencing baby names, you said.
Yes, I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, I suppose we talked about Pokemon Go quite a bit last week as well. Not last week, last show. And I've been playing it obsessively since then.
Yes.
It's really not been around very long. And for us to already know that it's affecting baby names, I think is quite amazing. I've got here that Rosalia has risen 5,859 spots over the last year. Onyx is up 2,184 spots. And Eevee jumped up 1,377 spots.
Onyx. People are actually calling their children Onyx.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair,
after the giant stony Pokemon.
Mm.
To be fair, that is a word that exists outside of Pokemon.
Yes, but...
also...
yeah. I like Eevee. I think Eevee's a very pretty name.
Yeah.
Know a few people that are called Eevee, actually. Not Pokemon related, not spelled the same way, but it's not an uncommon human name.
Well, the interesting thing as well is that Eevee has a lot of potential evolutions.
This is true.
You say this is true like you know what I'm talking about.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a report from Baby Center. I don't really know anything about Baby Center, but it's their report. It also notes that Pokemon like Starmie, Ivysaur, and Shaman may be influencing baby name trends, as Star has risen also, and Ivy is up, and wow. Shay has also jumped.
Wow.
So, yeah. Might just be names inspired by Pokemon.
That's pretty cool.
Pokemon revival.
Pokemon is tackling and taking over the world.
Yep, got to give birth to them all.
What I was seeing on the news earlier, that the person that sung the original Pokemon theme tune for the US series has been rediscovered and has gone in and done a live studio version of the Pokemon theme song, which is
fantastic.
Great. But it was a really sad story because nobody had any idea it was going to be popular when he recorded it, so he did it for a one-off payment.
Oh, no.
And, of course, the royalties on that song now, he would be absolutely minted, but...
Yeah.
Sadly, has nothing but pride.
Oh, well.
Such a shame.
Shame
cool,
indeed.
Though.
Yeah.
Cool, though.
It's a nice claim to fame.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'd love to be able to say that I did that. I didn't. But, you know, I'd have signed a better royalties contract,
yes.
I guess. So.
Yes, definitely.
Ah, but that's a shame. So coming up, we've got Game of Geeks a little earlier this week. So we've got some exciting tumble fumble stuff that is related to our guest. How exciting. We'll be talking to Nora again. We'll be talking to Nora a little bit later after Game of Geeks. So, you know, stick around for that. But really, to celebrate the demise, or to commiserate the demise of the VCR.
Every time.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Game of Geeks. Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Press all the buttons.
All the geek. That's us.
Yeah.
Ah, so now it's time for Game of Geeks.
It is. Game of Geeks again. I'm back in the normal format.
It is indeed. Yes. The weekly, every show where you pit Chris and I against it. Why do I say weekly? We're not on weekly.
We are not.
No.
Fortnightly. The fortnightly.
We're geekly, not weekly.
I see what you did there. Where Chris and I are pitted against each other by Catherine, who asks us some pretty intense questioning.
I suppose really we should be called the Gortnightly Chronicles.
The Gortnightly Chronicles.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
Right. So, at the moment, I think Chris is mainly playing to keep pride intact.
Yes.
As we are currently 5-2 in Kevin's favour.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, I worked out that if I win the next 2 shows... then my defeat will not be as humiliating.
Mm. Okay, well, give it a go. Yeah.
So, mainly that. Obviously, we will need some buzzers.
Yep.
So, this week, Kez goes...
Yes, we've got our video!
From the young ones.
Classic. And Chris goes...
VCR from the Buggles.
Yes.
Indeed.
Because video was supposed to have killed the radio star.
And yet, we're still here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, video is not.
I think a star might be on
that. Well, I think video in a general... killed the VCR.
Yeah. Yes.
The VCR, yeah, but...
Radio outlasted the video star.
Not really, because, you know, there are still video stars on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be going a lot longer.
That's true.
Anyway.
But you can still buy radios, and you can no longer buy VCRs.
That is true. So. True.
Indeed.
But anyway.
Anyway. So Game of Geeks is back, and I again have all the normal varieties of questions.
Excellent.
With 3 clues to each thing.
Okay.
But obviously you might not need 3 clues.
Okay.
If you get it on the first clue, 3 points. Second clue, 2 points. Third clue, 1 point.
My finger is on my buzzer. Thing.
Excellent.
As is
and
mine.
The buzzers are active, which is also good.
Yes.
So, okay. Your first thing is a website.
Okay.
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 Clue number one. In mid-2007, this site struck a deal with Channel 4 to sponsor its drama output.
Ooh.
Were you watching anything dramatic on Channel 4 in 2007?
I probably was, but...
I probably wasn't.
Drama...
No.
Drama on 4, sponsored by... No.
Your mum.
I don't think she did.
Do we need a second clue, perhaps?
Yes, please.
We might.
Okay, so clue number two for 2 points. A new advertising campaign in 2009 saw unique monthly visitors to the site jump from just over 200,000 to 1.1 million.
Hmm.
Yes, we've got our video!
Wasn't Go Compare, was it?
No.
Okay.
Actually, we've already used that on the series.
Oh. Compare. Right.
For 1 point, I think we need the final clue.
Please.
For
this is
one
a tough
point.
One.
This site has a spoof companion website.
Yes, we've got our video!
Comparethemarket.com.
Yes.
Right.
No, of
a spoof
course.
Companion website designed to help you compare small carnivorans belonging to the mongoose family.
Nice.
Compare the meerkats.
Yes.
All right, that's okay. 1 point to me.
I was using it just
one point
the other day.
To Kez.
Yes.
Which, as you know, is worth bearing in mind when I'm making the questions for Game of Thrones.
Yes, it is. Yeah, back to the usual approach
level
to questioning.
Prep.
Yes.
Okay.
Next.
The next thingamajig is a TV show.
Okay.
Exciting.
So get your TV show hats on. Clue number one.
Okay.
This British sitcom... first aired in September 2000. It was primarily filmed at Teddington Studios, with exteriors filmed on location in Lee Street in Bloomsbury, London.
Oh, Teddington. What was filmed there?
Is that not where the World of Adventures is?
That's Chessington.
Okay, close then.
No, I've got nothing.
Next clue, I think.
That was kind of obscure. Okay, clue number two. This British sitcom, again,
it's still a British sitcom. Yeah. Good. Hasn't changed.
Gave us the quote, "I'm never going outside again unless I need some place to throw up."
Oh. I recognise the quote. But
perhaps
I can't.
It would be better if I could do it in an Irish accent, but I can't.
No, I'm still lost here.
Wow, lost at sea. Okay,
I know.
Clue three for one
really
point.
Really hard questions this week.
Mm-hmm. For one point, the three main characters have the surnames Black, Bianco and Katzenjammer.
Yes, we've got our video!
Black's Books.
Black Books, yes.
Hey, there we go. So I've got 2 points. It's not
yeah,
bad.
Two whole points.
Of course.
Yes.
Black Books.
Okay. Are you ready for the third thing?
The third thing.
The third thing.
Yeah, you're making this hard to make up for last week, aren't you? Where I gave you tough questions. Right, okay.
The revenge.
Game of
revenge. Revenge is a dish best served quizzically.
Okay.
So next up, we have a game.
Okay.
All right.
I will be bad at this. I can guarantee.
Yes, we've got our video.
Is it Game of Geeks?
No. That would be awesome. I'm doing that next week. Right.
Okay.
Clue number one. The idea for this game was conceived in 2014 and presented as an April Fool's Day collaboration with Google.
No idea.
No. Okay. Clue number two for 2 points. From September 2016, this game is set to be capable of incorporating gameplay elements from a special wearable device. Chris.
You know that thing where the questions are not that difficult to work out based on current life events?
Super relevant to the people around the table.
Yeah.
Is this game, by any chance, Pokemon Go?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good to
making
know.
Things level with both Chris
wow,
and
that,
Kez
that
on 2 points.
Wow, that almost never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nice
almost
and levelly.
Never happens.
Levelly.
Are you ready for another
lovely
thing?
Yes, please.
Next up, we have a film.
A film.
Okay.
A film.
Okay.
Right.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Okay, production of this film was temporarily shut down due to when fire destroyed several sound stages at Paramount Studios.
Yes, we've got our video!
Was it Star Wars The Force Awakens?
No.
Sure there was a fire involved in that one. Like the Millennium Falcon caught fire or something. Never mind. Anyway, it's not that one. Fine.
Well, their health and safety record wasn't tremendous. But,
okay.
No, it wasn't, as I discovered. They got in a lot of trouble.
Right, clue number two for 2 points. This is the third film in a
yes,
series.
Yes, we've got our video!
Damn.
Star Trek Beyond.
No.
Ah!
Oh!
Almost. We went to see it this week. It was the third one of the rebooted Star Trek films.
Oh!
I thought this would fool you.
That's the first time you have ever done a devious Game of Geeks question. I'm quite impressed.
Yeah, this is not going well for me.
Ah!
So, the third film in a series, Kirstie Alley's character from the second installment.
It's the Tumble Fumble.
That's not the button.
Sorry,
it's really not the Tumble Fumble.
I brushed the iPad.
Okay. So, clue number two again. The third film in a series, Kirstie Alley's character from the second installment was replaced by Robin Curtis.
No, I haven't got that.
No idea.
Clue number three.
I got a feeling. Okay, this was Leonard Nimoy's first directorial feature.
What did he direct?
Think of something quite obvious. What might Leonard Nimoy have directed?
Well, he might have directed Star Trek. But I've said the...
What? Yes, we've got our video!
Was it Star Trek Into Darkness?
No.
Was it another Star Trek film?
It was another Star Trek film.
Was it...
Who's going to go through
yes,
them?
Yes, we've got our video!
Well, I don't know
was
any
it
of them.
Star Trek?
No.
I don't know any of the Star Trek films, so...
What year was it? What year did it come out?
1984.
Oh, why did I not listen to that bit of the clue?
Because I didn't put that in a clue, that would then not fool you into thinking it was the new Star Trek.
Which one came out in 1984?
Yes, we've got your video!
Star Trek The Undiscovered Country.
No.
Oh...
I feel like there should be a certain amount of mercy.
This is getting boring. Okay, right.
All the Star Trek
films. The fact
films.
That it's still drawing then.
Star Trek 5. No, that is The Undiscovered Country.
Trek. That's Star Trek 6.
Star Trek 5, The Search for Spock.
Star Trek 5, the third in the series, as mentioned earlier.
Oh.
Next question.
Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock.
Yeah, but I've already written you off.
Oh. Thanks, Catherine.
Like 12 guesses is enough. Okay, the close. Decider. So one of you has to get this.
Okay.
Is an event, because I don't have any more clues.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So yes, we've got our video!
Your birthday.
No. Oh. I'm using that next week as well. Right. So.
You're just trying to butter up the quizmaster, yep. Is that the... I see how it is.
In its current format, this event has always been commercialised. Some of its first sponsors included Kodak, OXO, and Coca-Cola.
Yes, we've got our video!
Christmas.
Yes, Christmas, sponsored by Kodak.
Well, that would make sense. Santa's only green because of Coca-Cola, so it's...
Santa's red. Because
sorry.
Of Coca-Cola.
Santa used to be green. There we go. That's
what colour is Coca-Cola, other than brown?
Red. I know.
Right. Clue number two for 2 points. World wars led to the cancellation of this event.
Yes, we've got our video!
The Olympics.
Yes.
Whee!
Oh, come on.
2 points for Kez, meaning...
You got to be quicker on the buzzer.
Another win.
What else was cancelled during the war, except for fun?
Probably quite a lot of things, I imagine.
Yeah, the Olympics was the big event. Wow.
The big event.
The big event.
The big event.
So does that mean I did it again?
Yes, it means you did it again.
This week's winner is...
Yay! In your face! Actually,
that's
it's
mainly
not...
because we're getting the Olympics, you know, next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I should have thought about that.
It's not so in your face because I did pretty badly.
Yes,
but you just did,
you did
very slightly. And you were equal with me right up to the end.
Yes.
So that was good. Good game. Good game. I didn't utterly destroy you this time. You have gone mean with these questions.
I like this.
Mean.
I like this new mean
question. Just mean. How mean? Very mean.
Scatter mean in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yes, we've got a video.
We do. We do indeed. I'm trying to press my buzzer again. Hang on.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, we've got our video!
We do.
Might need to keep that on the jingle board.
Uh-huh. Might leave it there. But I also quite like... A bit of Buggles.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of Buggles.
Who doesn't like a bit of Buggles? Who doesn't
really
like...
Don't
I'm asking,
know.
Who I, doesn't like
I
a bit
know.
Of Buggles?
I'm good with it. I have no objections, personally.
Fine. All right, then. Well.
Well, indeed.
In about 5 minutes' time, we'll be talking to our guest of the evening. Chris, tell us more about that.
Well, we will be speaking to Nora Reed, who is the creator of many a Twitter bot. And
love Twitter bots. Which ones?
We do love Twitter bots here. You can see them on their website. If you go to twitter.com/Nora Reed and then click through to their website link, it will take you to where you can find a full list of their projects. If you click on projects, and it shows you all the miscellaneous Twitter bots, such as ThinkPiece Bot, which generates those sort of think PC takes. They created Like Uber But, terrible ideas for startups.
Fantastic. And, like Uber but a wombat.
Yes. So I'll just give you a sample of it now. Like Fox News but for news.
That's actually a good one.
It usually just randomly comes out like the Salvation Army but for microbrewers. So that sort of thing.
All stuff that I can legitimately see people doing in San Francisco.
Yes. And various other very entertaining bots. So we'll be speaking to them soon about these wonderful creations.
Fantastic. Right, and before that, I mean, I'm still thinking about the VCR.
I am so sad.
Yeah, it's the sad piano, isn't it? But while I was thinking about the VCR, I was thinking about other songs for tonight. I mean, don't forget you can still get your requests in, but I was really thinking about what other songs to put in the show tonight. And I was thinking, when was VCR really at its peak for me in my life? And it was when I was a teenager, and certainly kind of tweens to teens. And one of the things that was on TV a lot at that time, kind of imported from the US, was Dawson's Creek. Did you ever watch Dawson's Creek?
No.
Were you too cool for Dawson's Creek?
I don't know. I guess. Or too uncool for Dawson's Creek,
possibly.
I think, in my perception.
Yeah, maybe. But the theme from that was always kind of stuck with me as a real 90s treat.
Yeah, I can see why.
Does it make you feel 90s? Do you even know the song?
I don't know the song.
Yeah, I suppose it only makes sense if you know Dawson's Creek.
Mm. It does.
But if you listen to Dawson's Creek, I've forgotten how video works. If you've watched Dawson's Creek, if you were a Dawson's Creek fan, let us know in the chat room. I'd love to speak to you because apparently nobody else has heard of this this show.
Well, I've heard of it.
James Van Der Beek. Van Der Beek? Van Der Beek?
Van Der Beek.
Van Der Beek.
I mean, Buffy mentions it in Buffy. So.
She does, yes. And I love Buffy. Hmm. Another good 90s show, but without really a very good theme tune to play. I mean, it has a great theme tune, but it's not a song like this
one.
So we'd just be listening to the Buffy theme tune. Yes. Yeah, or I suppose we could listen to anything off the musical episode of Buffy, or just find Anthony Stewart Head talking and just play that for half an hour, because to be honest with you, that's good stuff.
Why not?
A little bit in love with Anthony Stewart Head, not going to lie.
But from vampires to robots.
Yes. From the 90s to
the future.
To the future.
We are now very, very pleased to be able to welcome Nora Reed to the show. Hello. He says tentatively.
And see, I'm pressing there's the button that says muted. And there we go. Hello.
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 There we go.
Hooray.
Yay.
Oh, good.
Thanks for joining us, Nora. It's great to have you here.
Welcome.
It's good to be here.
So,
am I echoing or anything?
You sound perfect.
Okay, good.
Fantastic.
A plane just started flying overhead extremely conveniently.
Ah. They do tend to pick their times well with our interviews. But thank you for joining us, and we are excited to talk to you about the bots you have created.
We are.
I'm excited to answer questions. Or whatever.
I mean, I love bots. I'm a big fan of anything. I mean, the phrase bot is kind of, it means lots of different things. I mean, you think robot in terms of, you know, actual physical thing. But you know, a bot is anything that is automated, really, that does things in an autonomous way. And your bot.
Yeah, I've had just the same bot because I would accidentally disappoint people who thought I was building actual physical robots.
Yeah, I've said to people before, check out my Twitter bot, and people have gone, you have a robot that no. It's not like I did have a Nabaztag once, which was a Wi-Fi bunny that could read my tweets out. Yes. So that was like a Twitter robot.
Hmm. I've always wanted like one of those, but that actually works.
Yeah, that's the problem. It did not work.
It looked like they worked great.
It didn't work, and it was tied to a proprietary server. So when the company went bust, it became a useless chunk of plastic that occasionally lit up and then went, oh, I've got no connection. So it just flashed red. It was a shame.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I think, you know, I might just turn it into a lamp or a thing to put chips in. I don't really know.
What do you do with a plastic rabbit?
I have a dead Wi-Fi rabbit in my garage, and it's not decomposing, so...
Mm. How do you solve a problem like Nabaztag?
Oh, I don't know, but that was a good one. But I fear we're veering off topic, and Nora has kindly agreed to spend their time with us, so...
Yes. So I guess my first question is, what got you interested in starting to create these bots that... Do such great things and amuse us so much.
I always liked being able to do things that sounded like other things. I've always been pretty good with verisimilitude and satire and stuff like that. And I really liked the idea of making something that did that kind of thing automatically, because it kind of proves a point when you can make something that sounds relatively close to like real terrible startup pitches or real terrible think piece titles or whatever. And so I'd always wanted to do that, but there wasn't really an accessible format that I was able to do until some of the more accessible Twitter bot stuff came out, because I'm not a coder. I'm really bad at programming. And so it wasn't until some Google Sheets things that plugged into the Twitter API and eventually Tracery came about, which is the tool that I use, Tracery and Cheatbots Done Quick, that I was able to actually do this stuff. And I realized when I started that I just had a huge trove of ideas that were in the back of my head for things that I always wanted to do but didn't have the coding knowledge to put together. And so I'm sort of just going through all of those now.
Some of them are really, really accurate as well. I'm looking through the list that you tweeted of all of the bots you've created, and there's one that's a parody of BuzzFeed titles called BuzzFiend, at BuzzFiend News, if you want to find it on Twitter. And it says, 18 ways to make Blood Teller brand hazelnut-flavored blood spread with sidekicks.
Wow.
And that sounds exactly like the kind of thing that you would see on BuzzFeed. So they are very, very pertinent a lot of the time.
Things that have particularly formulaic titles, especially headlines, are really a good starting point to riff on.
I'm just looking at your bot for automatic spice.
That one was really fun. There's some word lists going around that I've been able to use. I've been using the Mobi word list, which is a giant open source list, and there's some folks who have divided it up by part of speech so that I could just get a huge list of every adjective in English and have it generate terrible Spice Girls.
Yes.
And so it was really cool because it's all stuff that other people put out there, and I just had to figure out ways to connect it that were funny.
I think sometimes the things that come out of it are so beautiful, like non-unique spice.
I quite like that one, actually. Non-unique spice.
Yes.
The very nature of it is you're trying to differentiate all the spice.
Yes. So you were talking a bit about kind of Tracery and Cheatbots Done Quick, and could you tell us a bit more about that? I mean, that's made it so much easier to start making bots, but if one of our listeners has an idea for random words they could mash together, how would they do that?
What those do, a lot of people think that I'm doing something that's like reading headlines or something like that, and there are a lot of bots that are set up like that. Mine is not one of them. None of mine are like that. All they are they're like Mad Libs. You create a bunch of formulas that have basically blank spaces in them, and then you come up with lists of words that can slot into the blank spaces. And so I'll have like the BuzzFiend formulas are things that are, I read a bunch of BuzzFeed headlines and sort of got the gist of them, and then made, I think that one has probably like 50 or so formulas. Wow. That are just like blank number of tips or like blank, and then for the number, and then it slots in like tips or hints or hacks, and then various materials, and then various projects. And once you come up with enough things on those lists, it can create a fairly decent amount of variation and you can set it to automatically tweet every hour or every 3 hours or or whatever. But the trick is just having enough variety in there that it's coming up with interesting things whenever whenever that timer goes off. So it has to be fairly varied for it to be going off very often, or else I basically start turning it down once I start getting bored with it. I'll turn it back from 1 hour to 3 hours or 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I've there is one bot that I'm aware of that does take real headlines. It's a bot called CNN Your Mum. And it reads headlines from CNN.com and just takes out nouns and puts your mum in place.
So, wow, that sounds cool.
35 different ways to save money on your mum. Wow. Or Joe Biden will appear on your mum next season. And stuff like that.
Wow, I really like Headline Smasher, which grabs two headlines and puts them together. And there's a good one that replaces all instances of millennial with snake people.
I like that.
That's awesome.
I
we millennials are.
Yes, we snake people are. In fact, I've seen you can get an extension for your browser that does that on every page you visit. And it'll also replace the millennial generation with the serpentine population.
Yeah, I don't know which one of them came first, but it's the same general idea. There's also one that replaces every instance of cyber with spider,
nice.
Which is pretty fun.
Ah, yes.
You'll find a lot of good stuff like that from just people doing tracery stuff like me and people who are doing stuff that actually plugs into live content. If you look on the Bot Ally hashtag, that's where a lot of folks who are interested in bot stuff and also frequently concerned about issues of bot ethics and social justice and stuff like that, a lot of us hang out on there. And so you get to see some back-end stuff on how we talk about the bots that we're working on and stuff too. But that's also just a fun way to find out about new ones.
An observation from Scatterboon in our chat room is that the problem with bots that use real headlines is that they don't know when it's inappropriate, which is very true.
Yeah, and even ones that don't use real headlines, it still can be problematic. There's definitely times when I've not thought of a way that ThinkPeaceBot could put something together, and it came up with something sort of horrible, and I've had to take out keywords for that reason, because you sort of have to imagine all of the different ways that things would get shoved together.
Yeah.
And make sure that it's not coming up with something like, and so I end up with like a thing where if there's any sexual content in a bot, there can't also be anything that mentions children, because you don't want those to be connected together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's some interesting ethical issues with that, but people frequently send me stuff and are like, can you put this in there? And just because of the way that bots end up connecting things. And also I've just taken down the headline ones temporarily when there's bad stuff happening in the world, because I don't want people getting, when their ears are already pricked for bad news, I don't want to accidentally
break some news that didn't
make them think that it's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, the smashing words together that are inappropriate is one thing, but at least, you know, timing-wise, that just kind of happens. Whereas, obviously, a headline-grabbing bot could, you know, take something that is unfolding or developing in the world, you know, at that moment in time, and really, really not do good things for it for people. So there are dangers. And Scattermoon, of course, there in the chat room reminding us that it's not all fun and games, and that we should remember that the world is also doom and gloom.
The other interesting the other interesting bot thing to think about, and in a sense we've run into this with a bot, and we'll talk about that a bit later, is that making it obvious that the bot is a bot is often quite important as well.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun to not do it.
True.
Bots that are like troll honeypots that
yes, that's very funny.
Mention keywords that chat with people and waste their time so they don't waste my time.
Hmm. And that's kind of true, but you had an instance with a bot version of you, and we'll talk about our bots in a bit, but your bot, Catherine, your bot, Catherine, ran into Amazon support.
Yes. Amazon Help in the UK responded to the bot version of me.
It tweeted something about Amazon Prime, didn't it? Because it mashes your tweets together.
And they had this whole confusing conversation, and I kind of had to step in and explain to Amazon Help that, oh, sorry, that's a robot.
But it went on for quite some time.
It did. Yeah. They exchanged several tweets.
Is it like a Markov one, like an eBooks one?
It is, yeah.
Those ones can sort of accidentally sound surprisingly human and plausible if you don't have the context.
They
which
really
is always
can.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, my Markov bot at one stage was coming up with stuff that was very, very like me. And then, you know, I did an update and it just went from being very like me to nothing like me. So, but very interesting all the same. But there are so many different kinds of bots. I mean, you mentioned these eBooks bots, the Markov chain generator, which is a very different algorithm and a very different kind of bot to the ones that are a bit more formulaic where you're adding a couple of words together. But, I mean, really, the aim of these bots seems to be very much, from my point of view, to really entertain and inform. What's the motivation for, and it's sounding very dramatic here, what's your motivation? What is the motivation behind the bots that you've made? Are any of them for anything other than a bit of fun?
A few of them are like deliberate satire. I mean, ThinkPieceBot is the main one of these, but I have... And Botist Takes, which is sort of the feminist social justice version of that bot. And those are sort of deliberately meant to make fun of the way that people write, especially about millennials. But I do have a lot of other ones that are sort of health helper bots and mental health helper bots. I have one that just posts to remind you to take your medications every hour. And I know a lot of people I've gotten a lot of messages from people who are like, oh, I was about to forget, but I followed your medication bot and it reminded me. And I have ones that just remind you to drink water. The Hydrate bot is one of my really popular ones. And I released the code for that one. So people have made forks of that remind them to do other things.
Yeah.
There's a really nice one that I followed a couple of days ago that was, like a friend, or like a yay friend bot, and it just tells you that, you know, you're valued and you're cared about as a person, that you're worth something, and it will occasionally
no one responds to
it tweets things at me, and if I like a tweet or something, it replies to me. It's lovely. It's nice to have a little interaction.
It's so cute.
It's very sweet.
That's not one of mine. It's just it's one of the ones that's inspiration for a lot of the mental health ones that I've done too.
Yeah, it's a very lovely bot. So I discovered that the other day and followed it, and it is nice. It sounds it's nice. It actually sounds like a few of my friends, which is interesting. So it's like having them there even when they're asleep. Thinking of no certain Australians that are normally asleep for half of the day that we have here.
Yeah, I think a lot of good can be done with bots as well. That sort of thing of kind of reminding people to do stuff or giving people kind of positive reinforcement is definitely a very, very nice side effect of being able to create robots that mash words together and tweet every so often.
Do you know what it reminds me of a bit, though?
What does it remind you of?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't actually remember. I mean, you won't, Chris, but there was back in the early days of computers, before I had the internet, there was this great program called Eliza, and it came on a floppy disk, and it was like it was designed to be a fake psychotherapist in a program. But you could, the idea was you could talk to it, and it would just ask you. It could just ask you about your day and things like that. And it would just prompt you to have a conversation. So it wasn't doing much, and it certainly wasn't very qualified, but it was one of the very first things that you could type into a computer, and it would look at the words that you were typing in and give you what it thought was an appropriate response. So it would
restate what you said back to you sometimes.
Yes, which was really very cool. Powerful.
I definitely did a lot of fooling around with that at a really impressionable age, and it really left an impression.
Yeah, I was quite young when I first used that on an old computer that we had at home. But it, it it did have a profound effect, and it really influenced my thoughts about the way that computers interact with people. And I think it feeds really nicely into this world of bots that we live in.
Yeah. The other thing that I think of as sort of the spiritual ancestor is the various Dungeons and Dragons tables. And I think that was the other thing that was a big influence on me.
Yeah, I think, you know, that as far as inspiration for these things goes, there are so many different things that a lot of people that maybe grew up at the start of the internet or just before the internet age really began in earnest, when it wasn't available to just kind of everyone all the time, everywhere. There are so many of those things, like Eliza, like Dungeons and Dragons tables, like, you know, things that you don't see as much of anymore, or things that have changed shape entirely since the world of the internet came along. I think it's really nice to see a lot more kind of human-centered things being created online, especially the helper bots that remind you to drink water and take your medication and breathe.
Yeah.
I suppose it'd be a bit much if there was a bot that every 3 seconds it said breathe in, and then every 3 seconds it said breathe out.
I think Twitter would ban that in about 3 seconds for looking like spam.
Far too many requests in one go. So what next? I mean, are there any bots that you're kind of currently mulling over, or is there anything that's maybe a bit more complicated that you've not quite worked out how to do yet?
I've been, it's only recent that they've added, that the creator of Cheatbots Done Quick has added the ability to respond and to have bots that talk back. And I played with that a little bit. I have a couple that that I sent trolls to so that they talk to the bot instead of to me. And that's been a fun way of using that. But I also made ones that do, like, one that generates really silly deaths. And so it'll generate silly deaths for you if you at message it. That's just like it comes up with just,
I hope that's
you're
text,
killed
not
with
an
ridiculous
actual
weaponry and stuff.
Yeah, that's text, I hope,
not
actual
you
weapons.
Have died. With underscores between the words.
Oh, nice! Like throwback to the kind of text-based adventures.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely inspired by those, and there's a lot of sort of ridiculous weaponry, like guns that shoot puppies and stuff like that. I mean, shoot puppies out of the guns, not murder puppies.
I want a gun that will shoot puppies out of it, because then I could just pull a trigger and I'd get a puppy.
As yeah, long as it, shot them out gently.
It would probably eventually be sort of difficult to take care of all the puppies, but it's
challenge
sort of
accepted.
Exceptionally fun one.
So I've just
It's the future for me is definitely looking at how to make ones that interact with people more and figure out what it changes when there's sort of the appearance of an interpersonal interaction, even when it's random number generated.
So I've just found You Have Died on Twitter, and it is there are a lot of people tweeting at it, and it's responding with things like, you dropped dead after a dragon put a spell on you, and things like that. And it looks like it's generating.
I want to add to that one. There's a lot of ridiculous ways to die, and so there's a lot of ways to expand that and make it sillier.
There are a lot of ridiculous ways to die. I mean, I can think of like 23 just in the studio.
Yes.
Yes. We've still got a bucket
of
green.
You want to send them? I might throw them in.
We've still got a bucket of green ping pong balls left over from the end of our last series. So, yes. Anything involving a bucket of green ping pong balls. Is
drowning
is
in a sea of green ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have sort of a long like list of inventory items that could definitely go in.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
They are plentiful and they are green.
up until a few months ago, I mean, some of the soundproofing would just fall off the wall during a show.
That's true, but it's very hard to get killed by a featherlight stone tile, foam tile, rather. If it was stone, it probably would do damage. Oh, dear.
It would require creative usage.
Yeah, you'd have to be very, very determined to kill someone with foam.
I'd have to get foam in my eye and then maybe trip over and land in a bucket of ping pong balls and then fall down the stairs.
Yeah, there'd be a sequence of events going on.
Yeah, maybe so.
One of the things that I really like about the like weird object death thing is because it sort of forces the user to come up with a story.
Mm.
Like, just like you guys just did. And so coming up with ways to inspire that either just in people's imagination when they read the tweet or responding to the tweet and quote tweeting it and sharing it with their friends with their ideas of how this could happen is a really like fun usage of bots as a sort of impromptu social creative writing prompt.
It's almost like, you know, you get these card games sometime that have, you know, scenarios on and then you have to explain them to people. It's a bit like that, but in a Twitter bot. I really like that. I should we should actually think about, maybe we should use them in the show. In fact, after the next song, let's bring up a couple and see if we can ad-lib stories. I think that's that's a really cool thing to do.
You guys talked about Magic Realism Bot, I think, last week.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
And that's one of the ones that a lot of them are self-contained, but a lot of them seem to like beg to have a story written for them.
Yeah.
Which is, that one's a big inspiration for me. I really like that one.
Yeah.
We might have to give that a go after the next song. I think that would be quite a cool challenge.
Another one of my favorites is at Micro SFF, which is science fiction and fantasy stories that fit within a tweet. And it's another one. But I don't think that one is a bot. But it's stories that fit within 140 characters. And
there are some really good ones that are, and I know there's some that are hybrid where there's I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but there's one where it generates little sci-fi stories, and then sometimes the creator will reply to them and extend the story past the bot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I love when bots tell stories, because some of them, because it's so random, some of them are completely implausible and ridiculous, but some of them do sound really interesting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So what's the future? What's the future of bots? Do you think that this will grow? Do you think this will become a bigger thing? Can you see a Twitter bot maybe not just being a Twitter bot, but also a bot across all platforms? Will your Twitter bots be texting me anytime soon?
I mean, they kind of already can. The way that you can set up alerts on your phone, I know a lot of people do that for the mental health reminder ones. And I definitely have some of them bridging into Tumblr also. I just have them auto-posting the same content. And so some of them are a lot more popular on Tumblr because, like I said, with the ones that people add stories to, people really like expanding the stories, and it's easier to share something longer form in that format. And so people really have a lot of fun doing that. But I don't know about like the future for bots in general, especially beyond Twitter, because there's just been an explosion recently of people who are not making money off of them. They're not doing anything commercial with them. Some of them might have tip jars in the way that I do, but they're not doing them for companies or anything like that. And then you have these big things like Microsoft Tay and commercial bots that are coming from a totally different angle and almost always have no idea how Twitter actually works.
Yeah.
And so are unleashed on Twitter and immediately the results are completely horrible. Mm. And so like there's this weird juxtaposition of people like me who are coming from the Twitter angle and being like, how can we insert automation into this space that we already exist in and do something interesting there, versus people who know how to do the automation and know how to do the conversational aspects and are like, how do we plug this into Twitter?
Mm.
At angle, the results tend to, in my opinion, not be as good because every platform has a different way of working socially or a different kind of etiquette. And so if you have a Twitter bot directly translated to some other platform, it will still be acting like a Twitter bot and not whatever else it's supposed to be on.
Well, we look forward to seeing what comes next and seeing more bots from you.
Yeah, just before we let you go, I tweeted at You Have Died from the Geekly Chronicles asking how we died, and it says, we kicked the bucket in a distressing biomechanics incident.
Well, I think we'll have to have a think about the story behind that one.
Yes.
Sounds legit.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
It's, it could have been worse.
Based on the amount of technology around us right now, that could well be the case.
Yes.
The studio may come alive and consume the three of us.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining us, Nora. It has been fantastic
to speak
to you.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking.
And I believe you have a request for us.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you to play my favorite Radical Face song.
Well, we've got it queued up here for you, so we'll let you introduce it.
Okay, this is... Oh my God, which one did I give you? I gave you The Ship in Port, yes.
You did.
It's one of the ones that really appeals to me as an artist for talking about taking risks.
Well, Nora, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, and here is your song.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. When this baby hits 88 decibels per hour, you're going to hear some serious stuff.
And now, the shipping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of fanfiction.net at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Carol, Grimolsh, Rishon, rain coming, galoshes recommended. Double up if necessary. Casket, variable, becoming canonical. Klexa, nuclear apocalypse warning issued at 1:00. Destiel, seasons 12, long running, good. Dromione, Snilly, Starbucks, Hogwarts Express moving northerly. Magical proficiency, moderate or good, occasionally poor. Everlark, districts 13, odds ever in favour. Hanagram / headcanon turning cannibalistic later. John Locke, Shiriati, Sherlolly, Mind Palace, moderate or good. Bodies, ready. Larry Stylinson, one thing, dragged down. Perfect later. Rumbell, Captain Swan, fairy tale endings expected. Sasu Saku, manga feels, ninjas possible. Brutasha, Pepperoni, Stucky, Thorky, stay in your seats until the end of the credits. Twissy, Hufaldi, Hooflay, OTPs, Wibbly Wobbly, Timey Wimey. Stydia, Marlio, Layden, reclining back, on the ground, in a horizontal position. And that ends the shipping forecast.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like being on the Generation Game, only every prize is a cuddly toy.
It is! We love cuddly toys.
We do.
So,
idea. Cuddly box.
It's the Tumble Fumble. More random happenings from across the internet.
Are you ready for a scroll in the
hay? It's the Tumble Fumble.
Ah!
Press all the buttons.
That was not meant to happen. Let's try that again.
Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Yes, let's go.
So, it's bots, obviously.
Box? B-O-X?
No, B-O-T-S.
Oh, because of what Nora was saying.
Yeah. So it's a
They did
fumble.
Give a great interview.
They did.
And I like bots.
Mm-hmm. So I like big bots and I cannot lie.
Yes, you other Twitter users can't deny.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bot special on the Tumble Fumble. We've already talked about bots before, obviously. Last time we talked about Magic Realism Bot, and we've talked about Clickbait Robot quite a lot. That's one of my personal favourites. It also includes images in the tweets.
Clickbait Robot is particularly special.
Yeah, it's got a very special place in my heart, has Clickbait Robot. But then I realised there's actually lots of other bots that I've been following for forever. I think one of the first accounts I ever followed on Twitter was Big Ben Clock.
Ah, yes. This is a favourite of mine as well.
Yeah, and really it sort of does exactly what it says on the tin, really. Obviously, Big Ben is a bell, isn't it?
Big Ben is the bell inside the Westminster clock tower.
Inside a tower, but generally most people call the tower Big Ben. It's got a big clock on it, if you're not familiar with London. And and so essentially every hour it bongs, and so does the Twitter bot.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way of letting me know that I've spent too much time staring at Twitter.
when you see three bongs, you think, wow.
Oh my goodness, it's 3 o'clock. What's happened?
What's happened? In fact,
I started looking at this 3 days ago. What?
Yeah. In fact, in that vein, one of Nora's bots is at Wrong Ben. It's
nice.
Inaccurate Big Ben, and it just bongs randomly, random times during the day, and sometimes it tweets bongo.
Nice.
So
I love it.
If you like Big Ben Clock but want your timekeeping to take on a slightly more random element, follow Wrong Ben.
Nice.
Love it.
I like it.
Oh, thank you, Chris. So other bots I know and follow, Every Word Is Gay, of course.
I do like that bot, yeah.
There are a lot of those Every Word Is Blank, most of which we can't say on air.
No.
To be fair.
But Every Word Is Gay did tweet the other day, gay lesbians.
Nice.
Which I thought was interesting.
Lovely.
Indeed.
But just every dictionary word.
Yeah.
So it's gay something.
Yes.
Yeah. Gay ball. Gay chicken.
Gay aardvark.
Gay Dawson.
The most recent one is gay licensor.
Well, yeah.
Because it's in the LI part of the dictionary, because it's had licensing, licenses, that
sort of thing.
Is that
who you go to get your gay card?
It must be.
The one that everyone at school seemed to think that I kept dropping all the time.
I know, I mean.
You've not heard that one. As an insult, people go up to you and go, oh, you dropped your gay card. And if you looked on the floor, they'd go, oh, you've got a gay card. Kids were mean where I grew up.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it was either going to be that or the theme from Dawson's Creek, wasn't it?
Saddest episode of Geekly we've ever had.
It is.
And my next bot is one that I've only just discovered, called 8ball, or 8ball _ is the Twitter name, and it's a magic 8ball.
Nice.
Bot. So you tweet it a question and it will. Well,
I might have to give this a go.
So if anyone wants to give that a go and let us know what it thinks, then go for it. So what's Kez going to ask the magic 8-ball?
We've got to log into Twitter first, so to keep talking.
Keep talking.
I've got it. I might ask it what it thinks, if it thinks Series 5 is going to be good, as good as Series 4.
Series 5 of the Geekly Chronicles?
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe we should say, because it kind of has to be a yes-no answer, should we do a Series 5 of the Geekly Chronicles? It hangs in the balance, people.
Wow.
I have tweeted at 8ball _, should we come back for Series 5? So we'll see what it says.
Momentarily.
Wow. Indeed. It's
quite tense.
Yeah, I'm kind of crossing my fingers that this is a positive.
I'm crossing my toes too.
Yes.
So we're literally just waiting for it to reply.
Our fate.
Amazing. You would think that it would reply a little faster.
You'd think it was a bot. What other bots have you got for us?
So, next up we have our own bots.
Yeah.
Oh, so we do have our own bots.
We do. Well, Kez and I have bots made around the tweets that our Twitter accounts tweet. That we tweet ourselves. Our Twitter accounts don't just come up with that stuff on their own. I guess.
Do you want to maybe start this sentence again?
No, I'll just wait for it to come back around.
So our bots are taken from our own Twitter accounts. Yeah. They are run through Markov chain generators. So what we do is we take our Twitter accounts and we then import all of the stuff using a cool little Twitter ebooks bot library that was written by someone called Miss B. And we let it download all our tweets. And it jumbles up all the words, picks out key phrases, and then, at a random interval, it constructs 140 characters of whatever from what it thinks we would talk about.
Mm.
And they come up with some very interesting things, don't they?
They do indeed.
You've got some examples.
So my robot account is called Robo Nails, because I'm usually Nail Gun Princess on Twitter. Nail Gun Robot is currently in the office with work to do, by the looks of things.
4 hours ago, it was saying, I feel like they've been microwaved. Who? What has been microwaved?
Don't know if we want to pursue that line of questioning.
Does anybody know which book comes first, if they notice it?
Wouldn't want to eat my jumper.
Who would?
That's a good point.
Although I have spilled quite a bit of food on this jumper.
So. Yes. 22 hours ago, your robot said gave up on the radio. I'm hoping that's not the case since we're on the radio.
Yes.
Well, luckily, that's just my robot that's going to happen. Yeah. Not actually.
And as we were saying earlier, your bot had an interaction with Amazon Help that I've just dug up. Because said, maybe I'm just not looking for comments like that. Or should I get it on Amazon Instant Video and had always wanted to watch it? And so Amazon Help chimed in, having searched for that phrase, and said, is there something we can help you find? And Nail Gun Robot, in possibly the most appropriate response it could have come up with, said, I ordered Local Hero on DVD next week.
Question mark.
And Amazon Help were like, I'm not sure. I can't see your account. Trying to help without realizing that this was a machine. So,
wow.
So you intervened in the end.
And just another one from your robot. I did it in the voice of a Vulcan computer. Just nice. Randomly.
We will always wonder what it was.
Yes.
My Twitter bot is Kezguy, which is my Twitter account, _ebooks. And it has some random stuff in there. Shameful admission. I'm British, yet oddly catchy.
Yes, I like that one.
Hey, I just crammed 50 hours of Game of Thrones. Was a story about 6 chairs and the epic struggle to finish a game of Monopoly.
I mean, another I haven't watched a lot of Game of Thrones. Is that's basically the plot,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. Another one says, I'll get on board with it.
And another one very succinctly, today is a day to forget.
I got 1 million views.
And
thank you, very dead, is another one.
Nice. And now for something completely different.
Or, I think I understand what bay is.
I think I'm going to do some lawn. Okay, maybe not then.
Nice. So, yeah, they do tend to come out with some quite interesting things.
Some of it is just horrendously nonsensical. But
play a little bit weird instead.
I think my favourite tweet that my bot has done was... even people you once thought were cool can end up having to clean the robot.
Yeah.
I want that on a t-shirt.
One of my favourite recent ones from mine is planning on making a fantasy star cake for the victims of the BBC debate on the European referendum tonight.
Yes.
The victims of the debate of the referendum.
Yeah. That was inflicted on us all.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds surprisingly human, like this one from June the 29th. It says, spent all day yesterday playing tabletop games and eat food with my friends. Other than the bad grammar, that actually sounds like a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
Another one, take me back to my WoW days.
Aww.
And help, I need a red feathered hat.
Now, I don't have...
Ooh, but for dude bros.
I don't have one of these Twitter bots, but I have created some bots of my own.
Yes, and I'm rather in love with one of them.
Yes. I can see them on your Tumble Fumble list, but I'll start with possibly the one you're not quite as in love with. Mm-hmm. But do you remember the adverts for the Club chocolate bar? If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. Well, I discovered...
If you do remember, you'll be singing that now.
Yes. I discovered cheap bots done quick that Nora was talking about earlier, and it was really easy to put in, if you like a lot of blank on your blank, and put in a list of about 200 foodstuffs. So at _join our club, we'll tweet 2 random foodstuffs every hour or so. So what was the one that it had earlier?
Oh, I did favourite some to be prepared, but I'm horrendously unprepared.
For some people that don't necessarily get the reference, there was a video for Club Biscuit bars in the UK, an advert that was, if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club.
Yes.
And the biscuit bar was called Club, and it was a chocolatey biscuit.
If you like a lot of pepperoni on your profiterole, join our club.
Who doesn't?
If you like a lot of artichoke on your cinnamon roll.
If you like a lot of artichoke on your cinnamon roll, join our club. You got to sing it.
You do.
You got to sing it.
So my favourite from 18 hours ago, if you like a lot of chutney on your muffin, join our club.
If you like a lot of chutney on your muffin, join our club. I like it. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
And then on to possibly Catherine's favourite.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Leonard McCoy from Star Trek in robot form. At Robo McCoy.
He is a bit predictable, though, because quite often he would say, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a..."
Whatever.
Blank. Yes.
But most recently, 30 minutes ago, he said, "I'm a doctor, not a tank car loader."
Which is true.
So we took every time, because obviously this was his catchphrase in Star Trek, "I'm a doctor, not a blank."
Something. Yeah.
So he would say this in various different ways,
like, damn it, Jim.
The series and, and the films. And
me, I'm an old country doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I was a blank.
Yeah.
So we just took all those phrases and inserted a list of professions.
Yes.
And some of them just come out, well, quite beautiful, really.
I'm a doctor, not a private detective. There's one that I saw kind of, I think it was on day one of me having created the bot, was something like, "I'm a doctor, not an emergency medical technician."
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of are.
I'm still looking through some older tweets from my bot. "Hi, everyone. I just opened Emacs 6 years ago and I just worked out how to quit it. Woohoo."
That's actually happened to me.
It's actually quite relevant.
Yeah.
Also, just cats meow at Waterloo Underground. Oh, it's quite sweet, really.
Nice. "I'm not a door-to-door sales worker or a retail buyer, Mr. Spock." It's had some nice ones.
I think one of my favourite ones was another early one of Leonard McCoy's, which is, "I'm a doctor, not a tobacco roasting machine operator."
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's imagining the scenario in which, you know, Spock and Kirk have said something to him and he feels the need to respond with this.
Yeah. It is the story in the bot. That makes it very entertaining.
It writes a story in your mind, and I think that's where the beauty is.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a very good delve into the world of bots there.
Yes. Mm. Thank you for that fumble.
So please do follow along with those bots. They were again.
Oh, do I have to remember what they were?
Yeah, they were. Come on. Our bots, certainly.
Our bots.
Yeah.
So my bot is at RoboNails, and Kez's bot is at Kezguy_ebooks. And then you can also, the Club Biscuit bot is _join our club. And Leonard McCoy can be found at Robo McCoy.
Yeah.
Well, we have had a great show.
We have.
But there's one thing we need to do.
We do. We need to check in with the final results of Would You Fund It?
And now remember that if you win this time, you've won the series of Would You Fund
It?
And if you don't win this time, we have to do some maths to work it out.
Yes.
But whoever the winner is gets to do next week's Would You Fund It, which is kind of a prize, I think.
2 weeks from now.
Yes.
But the vote has closed and the votes have been counted and verified and it's funded.
Oh,
67% of our audience tonight have funded have voted to fund At Home with the Camerons.
This week's winner is Chris.
Since we never normally get to use that button.
Thanks.
Wow. So, Chris, you've won. Congratulations. You have won the series of Would You Fund It?
So it seems.
And so the next episode is the last one of the series.
It is. I know.
I know. So that will be Tuesday. But don't worry. Series 5 will be back. We are doing Series 5. That will return to you in September.
Yes.
But before that, we've got another special that we've been promising we'd do for a while as well.
Mm-hmm. A little sneaky extra episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
On the end. The week after our final episode, so we're not going to do that usual thing where we leave a gap. We're just going to go 1 week.
Yeah. 19th of August.
The 19th of August, you will get a special After Dark episode.
When we say After Dark, we mean this show is family friendly, that show will not be.
Very much not.
Very much not be. All of the swearing we don't normally do, we will cram into an hour.
Yes.
Right in the end there.
Yeah. So that'd be so we will fun. Have some Wonderful of our radio. Usual features, just a little bit swearier.
Little bit swearier. Mm. Yes.
Forward to that.
Yes.
But with that.
Yeah, with that, we've had a great show this week. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. And from me, Kez.
And from me, Chris.
And from me, a very sad Catherine.
And from the VCR. Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.